Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank you all for tuning in to the High Praise Cathedral Live with Bishop Clarence and Prophetess Joyce Hatton here in Inkster, Michigan. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing, and yes, we are glad in it. We want to give a shout-out to all of you that are listening in right now around the world, to Africa, America, Italy, UK, Hong Kong, China, Malaysia, everywhere around the world that is listening in, Jamaica, all the Caribbeans. We thank you all for tuning in right now, and we're going to bring you out to the sanctuary, into the service right now. God bless you all.
Yes, we bow to conduct yourselves as Christians. The Bible says, King of a child, you still know not the part of it. I thank God for my training as a child. Mother and my parents made sure that I was properly trained for ministry. You may or may not know my father was a pastor during my young days, and my mother was like his assistant. And they had a little small mission in Detroit. That's where I started pastoring, out of that small mission. But I can recall many days, whether it was like this very inclement, my father would not have service. But they seen to it that I made my way around here with my brothers and sisters. Of course, it was more me than them because they didn't choose to want to come. So I came here in car class, and they had the cards for the children. I started here with the car class ministry. And I thank God for that training that I received as a child. Thank God for my love for the body of Christ, because my mother and father demonstrated that love to me over the years. Certainly appreciate those of you who love the Lord today to press your way through this inclement time of weather. But he's God today as he is in the summer. He's dependable. He never fails. Has anyone here God failed? Who can say he never failed? I can say he never failed. Thank God for the service thus far. A testimony that involves our chairman of our deacon board. He has been suffering with a certain attack of enemies, I think gallstones or whatever you call it. He'd been suffering with that. Hospitalized him, and I prayed for him, I visited him, and kept me abreast of what was happening, and then finally the report came, God has delivered, no more kidney stones, no more gallstones, all gone, all gone. Last night, I got a rude awakening. You know, I'm the assistant presider of the Apostolic World Christian Fellowship. That's worldwide. It's 5 million of us. The presider called my home last night and said, Bishop, I have some sad news for you. Well, I've been praying for him because he's been under attack with his kidney. I'm suspicious that the enemy tried to take me that way, too. So I'm praying for him, keeping up with him. But what about their brothers who traveled with us to Jerusalem, the last trip that we made there? He called me and said, Bishop, I have some sad news for you. I said, what is that? He said, Bishop Madison passed. I said, what was Bishop Madison's illness? He said, he had kidney stones, gallstones. So he was in good spirits. What about Bishop's with him? Visit him. He was in pain. but he's in good spirits. Less than 45 minutes later, after one of our bishops left this room, called back and said he passed. And I said, I got to tell Deacon over this. God's been good to him. Tell our Deacon Bull and my people the mercy of God, talking about he has been with us, or was with us, but he's gone. But God had mercy. Then the bishop said to me, Bishop, you know, while I was sick, down, suffering with my kidneys, he said, the Lord just ministered to me night and day. And I had a chance to really give it some serious thought. He says, I preached all over the world. I mean, I preached from one country to another. I told him, I just got a call request for me to come to Nigeria, West Africa. He said, Bishop Hatton, that's for young men. I don't advise you to go. The things that you have to put up with when you go to Africa, rats in your bedroom, mice in your bedroom, roaches in your bedroom, the food you eat is infected. He said, that's definitely an assignment for a young man. He says, you preached as a young man, you've done your work, I don't advise you to go to Nigeria. And they just got off the phone with me, asking me to come. So I was thinking after that report that I don't find myself going. I have to send somebody in my place. And I do have a bishop in Africa that represents Pentecostal Outpour. I will sign him to go so I can stay here and continue to minister to you. I'm not trying to rush my way out of here. And I saw another man on television today. Enjoyed his ministry, teaching. He wasn't preaching, just teaching, pacing the floor. And he blew me out the box and he says, I've been celebrating Christmas for 68 years. And I looked at him, and I couldn't do nothing but praise God. Lord, you mean to tell me he is only 68? And I'm 74, and he's looking like he's older than me. Lord, I got to thank you right now. I got to thank you right now. Oh, my God. If you're blessed of the Lord to be alive and in good health, don't worry about nobody giving you nothing for Christmas. He's already giving you enough. If you're healthy and you're not in the hospital, you're not on a cane, you're looking good, that's the greatest gift you can have. Praise the Lord. Stop crying about nothing. There's one gift that's the greatest gift you can give your friend. Somebody said, is it a material blessing, or is it an automobile or a car or a house or something? You know what the greatest gift you can give a person? Is share with them Christ in your life. That's what we all say. Look at this thing. Just take a person to the side and tell them how blessed you are because you have Christ in your life. That will mean the world to you and to God. This man, same minister, say, at 12 years old, a minister came and visited me. He says, now, a minister coming to visit a 12-year-old boy, and he says, I didn't know how precious that was until the day. He encouraged me to give Christ my life. And here I am today. I've grown up. I'm 68 years old. And I've encouraged people around the world because he encouraged me. I took what he gave me and began to give it to the world. And now, yeah, I'm preaching on television around the world. That same gift that he gave to me, I've caused others to be saved. So I'm saying that share your relationship with God, with your neighbor, with the person who you work with. sharing. That was one of the most precious gifts you can give to somebody. A testimony about what the Lord means to you. Now ask yourself a question. What does God mean to me? He means everything. There's nothing you can think of that God has not blessed you with. He's blessing you with one heartbeat after the other.
Yes. It's all.
Every breath you breathe is a gift. I went to a service this past Friday of one of our dear members who was with me back in the early days of my pastorate. There she was lying before us at 73 years old. Her children and I were sitting in front. I didn't choose to sit with the ministers. I felt like sitting with the family and encouraging them. And I saw God can do no matter how healthy you may seem today. Death can come upon you overnight. That's why if you're alive at Christmas, you ought to thank God for that gift. Thank God I'm alive. Look at your neighbor, the neighbor. Thank God we are alive to celebrate Christmas one more time. One more time. We sing a song. I'm glad to be in the number. One more time. Old folks used to sing a long time ago. I just listened to them sing. They say one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time. Glad to be in the number, one more time. There's a few that was here this time last year gone. But we're still here. That's when we closed the service out of the other day. I'm still here. I had my ups and downs, my disappointments, but I'm still here. So I'm saying to you, Merry Christmas. Don't have to wait for Christmas Day to say it. Merry Christmas. Have a prosperous new year to all of you who are here today. Now, because the weather is of such, many of our brothers and sisters chose to stay in. But I want to just thank God for those of you who pressed your way. Give yourselves a hand. We're going to ask you to go with us now to the Word of God. Thank you, Brother McLean. It looked like you traveled the furthest distance to get here today. But, you know, God's been good to you. You woke up on Christmas and all your gifts are gone. Somebody probably needed them worse than you. But God had this day ready for you to bless somebody else. You have to know what it means to bless people. The story of the earth, we must understand everything that's in the earth has seed time and harvest time. If I say seed time and harvest time. And so when we're getting ready to see the plan of God for an important seed that He saw needful to place in the earth so that the harvest would be such as it is. And the men who received him to them gave me power to become sons of God. The receiving is always a blessing when there's a need. Oh, y'all missed that. The receiving is always a blessing when there is a need. When you have everything, like some people say, Bishop, I'd like to give you something for Christmas. I don't know what you need. Look like you got everything. No, I may be true with you. But I'm like this. Whatever I receive is more than what I had before you gave to me. It's the thought. It's the thought. In Isaiah chapter 46, let us draw our attention to verse 9. and verse 10. Then you may be seated after we read that, because this is my passage of sowing, the beginning of the passage that I want to talk about. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. It says there, remembering the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Say, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Then there's another passage in Isaiah 9 and 6. Isaiah 9 and 6, if you will. It reads as follows. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then I'd like for you to join me in St. John in the New Testament, chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And he was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light that was that of all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, from them gave him power to become sons of God, but to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. Repeat after me, and
the word
was made flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, we thank you today for the discovery of your master plan to bring us out of darkness, to separate us from eternal damnation, to give unto us another chance that we may be as you had already ordained us to be from the very beginning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I have read for you several passages to deal with the descendancy of Jesus Christ and to inform you as to why we have this time of celebration. It has come about through the master plan, let me say that, the master plan of God. You heard me read in the beginning in Isaiah that he was declaring the end from the beginning. That means before everything started, he already had a plan in mind. That says that when God gave the command to the first man, Adam, and of all the trees that is in the midst of the garden, of all the trees that is in the garden, the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the day you eat of that tree, you should surely die. Now, if God knows the end from the beginning, it says a lot. That means that he knew he had to have a plan because man was going to fail in obedience to the plan that God had. He knew Adam when he made him in his own image and likeness that he would still mess up. Thinking like that. So those my brothers and sisters who are listening in Africa, you understand where Bishop is coming from. God already had a plan before there was a beginning. Because he says in St. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. You really with me, right? The Word was with God and the Word was God. But then in his master plan, he also said that he set it so that every man that believed in that plan would become sons of God. Every one of us who are here today, God had you in mind from the very beginning of time. And so that's why we have to praise him, not because of what he's done, but praise him because he included you in the plan. I wish I had somebody understood me. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're blessed. Because you are included in the plan. Now, a question came to mind. God coming into the earth was for a specific reason, Brother Willie. He knew that before he made man, man was going to need a way of redemption. Because the Bible says, first of all, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. Look at your neighbor and say, did you know as well as you look, you're still no good? Still no good. Because at any given time, if you get out of the will of God, you can become very undesirable. Did you hear what our first lady said? That she's so glad God saved her because if you only knew how she was before God saved her. And I'm not going to talk much about that, but all of you got the same problem. I'm not going to ask the question how many of y'all have a bad mouth. It'll probably frighten me for some of y'all raising your hands and you had a bad mouth because you see so wonderful now. I wouldn't think you would even say nothing like that. I'm not going to ask you how many of y'all were delivered from drugs. It would frighten me until maybe I should change, go to another state. Because so many of you are guilty of that. I mean, some of y'all look so wonderful. But that says that God had you in his plan. That while you were doing what you were doing, when everybody else had counted you out, God had you in the plan from the very beginning. When the enemy thought he had a grip on your life and that you would die in an obscure manner, God already had you in the plan that I'm going to take that person who seems to be uncontrollable and pull on him my spirit and change his outlook on life and give him a testimony that only God, somebody said, only God has been able to bring me out through his master plan. Now, listen to St. John 3:17, and I'm almost finished because it's 2 o'clock now. St. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I thought about that, and I would have you join me. I think that it would be obscure for God to send himself into the world to condemn the world when man had already been condemned. He didn't send you to be condemned again. You were already condemned, so he didn't have to come to condemn the world because the world was condemned in God's Eden. when we touched the fruit of the tree. That's when redemption came in. That's why he had to put a plan in place to bring you back from that place, because you brought damnation on yourself. So Jesus didn't come to damn you. When you go and talk to somebody about their obscure way of life and the way they live and the way they talk and the way they act and the things they do, you don't need to be condemned already. You've been condemned. We need to enlighten somebody and give them a precious gift of hope that tells somebody that you can be brought out from where you are. The devil has put you there, but God has sent Jesus to save you from where you are. So I'll give God a praise right there. God don't look down on a man for what he is. I look at him for what he can be. Because if you're very, very, very blessed, you're very, very contented with what you're doing now, that means when God changes your life, you're going to go to another level. The worse you are, the greater you become. Y'all missed that. You missed that. The worse you are, the better you can become. Who was any worse than Saul? Who was any worse? He wrote about massacring and killing God's people. But when God changed him and put a new lifestyle on him, he was the one that went about saving everybody can save. So the worst of sins can become the best of men. I wish I had to know. The worst of sinners can become the best of men. You can look at somebody who walked the streets without any hope, obscured and messed up from the play of. But when God changes them and comes into their life, he transforms them. That's why I agree with Paul in 2 Corinthians. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and therefore all things are become new. So look at somebody say, the worse you are, the better you can be. When God takes you and brings you from where you are and put a new mind in you, the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I don't care how low down you were. I don't care how low down you are. The greatest gift was planned by God way back in the very beginning to bring you from where you are now and bring you to a new place of life, and then you can stand and say, you don't know that I know what the Lord has done for me. That's what we say. Thank God for Jesus. He came into this world that he made and had you in mind when he came. The devil had you in mind too. Uh-oh, Bishop, back up. Back, put it in reverse. I'll tell you why. The devil had you in mind because the devil came to kill, steal, and to destroy. He came to kill, steal, and destroy you and your potentiality to become who you are. And he's here to try to take back from you your claim that you know Jesus. If you know Jesus, that's the greatest weapon you can have. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So if the devil want to make you think what you think, but God said, I've come that you may have life and that more abundantly. So now that you're in here, you need to stop praising God and stay like everybody else. Joy to the Lord. The Lord is God. Let earth receive her peace. Let every heart repair in hope that heaven and nature say, heaven and nature say, God has come into the world to stretch you from the eternity that you're in. Joy has come into the world to give you a stronger than evil spirit. Joy. I wish I had some help here today. I'm not going to finish this one about me. Joy has come to lift you up from where you were, put a feather in your head, shouting in your lips, praising on your lips, dancing in your feet. And you can say, look at me now. I'm not what I used to be. Thank God I've been praying. I've been changed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus came that we might have life and that more abundantly. Don't sit there like you know. But you need to put on your feet and then get the praise. Well, he's got you to the past and he can get you. He gave his only begotten son. Now, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh!
Three generations right before me here.
That's what about Stan? How you get it, Clarence?
My dad is Leland. Okay, so Leland, Clarence, David. That's four generations.
Right.
But then you start backing up and backing up and backing up. My father's father. All these generations.
Right.
But when I think about my father's father, I can. My father, Leland, had me. And I'm the bearer from that. I said, that kind of balances out. Three generations means complete. So God started my father.
Yeah.
In me, the third generation became the preacher. And out of all the habits, you can go down the history book, I'm the first bishop. There are two other bishops before me or after me. God, three generations to get me here. Jesus came through 42 generations to get you here. I was reading them, and some of y'all got to pray for me because some of the names of the generations Jesus came through, you almost have to be speaking in tongues to say the name. So I'm going to name them generations next Sunday. If I'm going to give them, take my text and name all those generations, then we get to Jesus. Then we get to Jesus, we're going to shout. So we might shout by the time we get to David. Then you have to shout on Solomon too. But I tell you, one child name, and most of the women, they talk about it. I'm praying for the Lord to give me my Boaz. I mean, I heard the sister say that. I prayed for the Lord to give me my Boaz. The Boaz was very much in that line of Jesus. But you can't stop at Boaz. You got to keep going. Well, it was one of the brothers that was used to get Jesus here. But then another one was a harlot that was used to get Jesus here. You ever think of Jesus coming down through a harlot? And this harlot runs, I'll get a message for next week, but I'm still going to tell you because I'm excited. This harlot was responsible for saving the Israelites when their lives was in trouble. She hung a red scarlet out of her window as a sign that this is a safe place. The God began to talk to me, sister. He began to say, what kind of scarlet did you have? What kind of rhythm did you have? I said, red. He said, that's my blood. I was before he spilled his blood, it was going to be the blood. That's how it's read. And so now when I say songs, learn songs, I think about all that they came through till they got here. I know it was the blood. I know it was the devil. As we sing that blood song, those of you that want to be included in that master plan, you might have never heard it preached like I preached it today. But if you desire to be in that master plan included, I want you to start coming. And let this be the greatest Christmas you've ever experienced in your life. You have to testify when it's over. That was the greatest Christmas when I came to Jesus. I know it was the blood. Come on. I know it was the blood. Somebody come to Jesus. I know it was the blood. Thank you.
Between a soul and God.
Just so I tell you. Now, everybody who can, we'll get $25 to make. Let's give together. Let's sow a seed. Get $25 in your hand. Stop coming this way. Sow a seed into this word today. If it's a gift he was going to give, buy somebody a gift, you take it again and say, God, watch God, tell me how to give it back to you. Press down, shake it together. All right.
Thank you. All right, everybody, we just want to say God bless you. We thank you all for listening in around the world. We want to say happy Sunday to you and also happy New Week as well. We always know that God loves you, that we all love you, God bless you. Ending us off will be one of the greatest songs of Peter Pan. God bless
I want every hand lifted, no matter who you are or what you've done. There is no sin greater than God's forgiveness. Sing it with me. It's green and red. Showers of the love of Jesus is in the air. His blood is flowing from the cross straight to my head. It's restoring air. Everything that's damaged. Hey! Can't you feel it? Come on! It's a rain of red. It's washing my sins and I don't care who knows. I'm surrounded by spirits of mercy everywhere I go. It's restoring everything that's damaged. Oh yeah! Ha. Listen! When the load got too heavy, he helped me carry the load. He didn't let me bear the burden alone.
The burden alone.
And now I've been set free. No chains holding me. He reminded me of the sacrifice that made. Damage. Arms around.